This is Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 153. Chandrasekhar Tapana Mishra Arasanatan Shunideki Anandita Sabakaraman. Hearing the arguments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seeing his victory over the Mayavadi sannyasis, Chandrasekhar, Tapan Mishra, and Sanatan Goswami were all extremely pleased. Here's an example of how a sannyasi should preach. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, he went there alone, not with a big party, not with a big party. Locally, however, he made friendships with Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra. And Sanatan Goswami also came to see him. Therefore, although he did not have many friends there, because of his sound preaching and his victory in arguing with the local sannyasis on the Vedanta philosophy, he became greatly famous in that part of the country, as explained in the next verse. Om Agyanatam Arandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshusun Militam Hinatasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sucha Sri Rupam Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataruvyascha Kripasindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chandrasekhara Tapan Mishra, Ara Sanatan, Shunideki Anandita, Sabakarama. The picture is of Chandrasekhar along with Tapan Mishra and Sanatan. Chandrasekhar was a pundit, a very learned scholar, and he was a glorified person in society. But he was especially enlivened by a rasa of servitude to Lord Chaitanya. He was considering himself just the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, others in the mood of service to Lord Chaitanya, became mad in ecstasy. And thus they would teach everyone to be loving servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. at this point in the pastime, Sanatan Goswami has regularly been meeting Lord Chaitanya at Tapan Mishra's house, and Lord Chaitanya has been instructing him. Lord Chaitanya is staying at Chandrasekhar's house as a guest, although Chandrasekhar is regarded as a Shudra. His occupation was just a clerk. He was a clerk. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't observe the formality of avoiding the association of Chandrasekhar. Normally a sannyasi or a Brahmin wouldn't stay with a Shudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the completely independent Ishvara. So he doesn't have to follow these social conventions. And in this case, he didn't. He remained in a Shudra's home. This is actually the end of the pastime. The devotees are feeling extremely pleased because Lord Chaitanya has defeated the sannyasis, the Mayavadi sannyasis. At the beginning of this pastime, they were ready to commit suicide, so there's been quite a change in their attitudes and in their moods. They had heard the Mayavadis blaspheme Lord Chaitanya, and this broke their hearts. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that this is a manifestation of real love for Krishna, Krishna Prem, and real love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They felt heartbroken that the Mayavadis criticized Lord Chaitanya. And they didn't know what to do. Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting tolerance. Trinadapi sunichinaturivasishna. But to make his devotees happy, he arranged this pastime of meeting the sannyasis and defeating them. And the way it happened was a Brahmin in Varanasi arrived just at this time before Lord Chaitanya with an invitation to join the sannyasis for lunch. Normally Lord Chaitanya wouldn't associate with the Mayavadis, but because the Brahmin came and invited him, and the Brahmin was very humble and followed all the proper etiquette, very humbly presenting his request. And so Lord Chaitanya said, yes, all right, I'll go to your house and see these sannyasis. So this was the Lord's pastime of convincing the sannyasis about the real purpose of Vedanta. There's a period in the history of Indian philosophy. Somebody has to bring a stick now because some of the devotees are falling asleep. They say that if some devotees are falling asleep, then you have to bring a stick and you have to beat the preacher. So, in Indian philosophy, in the history of Indian philosophy, there was a long period in which it got lost, right? Because Lord Buddha came to cancel out the authority, the Vedas, that was being misused for the sake of animal killing. And Lord Buddha, out of compassion, wanted to stop that. So he said, all right, Vedas finished. No more Vedas. So just imagine, you know, you couldn't cite the verses in the Bhagavad Gita that you're not this body, you're the spirit soul. That no longer had any authority. Natvaivaham jatu nasham natvam neme janaripaha nachaiva na bhavishyama sarvevaya ataparam dehino smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapti dhiras tatra namuyati. At the time of Buddha, nobody would listen to you. He established that the Vedas don't have any authority. So what was the use of your quoting Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita is the source of information for the soul. There's no other source of authority as to who you really are, the spirit soul, the Vedas, the Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita. So at the time of Buddha, things became strange. And the Lord had to come as Lord Chaitanya to eventually reestablish the real thing. But there were different stages. And Shankara came first. He was Lord Shiva. And according to one of the Puranas, the Lord asked him to reintroduce the authority of the Vedas, but he did it in such a way that he just presented a version of Buddhism with Vedic authority, this Mayavad philosophy. So that was just one step in the process to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. Then, much later, Madhva and Ramanuja came and embellished the Vedic teachings, establishing again dualism as opposed to monism. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completed this project. So it was actually a source of a lot of ananda, a lot of pleasure for the devotees who were learned scholars like Chandrasekhar Tapan Mishra. They were very pleased that this took place. And this is part of Krishna's business in this world. He comes to give pleasure to his devotees. So that's what's going on here. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about a certain theme. Does anybody remember the theme? Maybe somebody who has followed it in the book or followed it on the phone. Anybody remember the theme of the purport? Yes, how a sannyasi should preach. Prabhupada writes from the beginning, this is an example of how a sannyasi should preach. And he says, Lord Chaitanya went alone to Varanasi, not with a big group. And of course, there's a parallel. Prabhupada's writing this, and he also went alone to preach in the West. Another parallel. Lord Chaitanya's victory over the sannyasis made him famous throughout Varanasi, throughout that area. The verses immediately after this describe that. I guess we should chant the Bengali. Although my Bengali is not the real Bengali. Prabhu ke dekete aisa sakala sanyasi Prabhura pashamsa kare sabavaranasi. Many Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi came to see the Lord after this incident, and the entire city praised him. Varanasi puri aila sri krishna chaitanya puri saha sarvaloka haila mahatanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the city of Varanasi, and all of its people were very thankful. So they had an attitude of gratitude. Nowadays everybody talks about having an attitude of gratitude. So this is also the case. Laksha laksha loka aisa prabhu ke dekite mahabeda haila dvare nara pravishte. The crowd at the door of his residence was so great that it numbered hundreds of thousands. So how famous? And of course, there's another parallel with Srila Prabhupada. How Prabhupada became famous by instructing not only Mayavadis in India, putting Mayavadis in India in their place, but instructing many scholars and philosophers in the West, instructing everyone about Krishna, and really changing people's minds about who the personality of Godhead is. The third parallel is that Lord Chaitanya took sannyas so that he could change the persons who were reluctant to accept him. This was the student community, his own students rebelled against him, non-devotees, logicians, dry logicians like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, fruitive workers and Mayavadis, all of them were expert in avoiding Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas so that they would show their respects to him and be favored by showing their respects. When Prabhupada writes about this, he says that a preacher has to sometimes invent ways to spread Krishna consciousness. So there's a parallel here with Srila Prabhupada too. Srila Prabhupada allowed boys and girls to intermingle and preach. He so much wanted to spread Krishna consciousness. He didn't restrict the ladies. He let them join the temples as Brahmacharinis. This was something he devised for his preaching in the West. Why? Because he said, nobody can suddenly change social customs. It's the social custom in the West. In India, the boys and girls remain aloof from each other. The boys are not allowed to mix with the girls. At least in Prabhupada's time when he was writing, he said that. It may be changing now, but so what was the result of this change, this allowing the boys and girls to intermingle and preach? We heard yesterday at the meeting that the Prabhupada disciples had in the city hall, we heard from the individual devotees. One by one, they glorified their god sisters and god brothers. And while I sat and listened, I learned many things about the early days of ISKCON in London. I think I can tell you something you may not know that I found out. There was a group of ladies in London collecting Lakshmi for a new building after it became clear that Bury Place was too small and that they would need a bigger place. A group of seven or eight ladies went out selflessly collecting Lakshmi for maybe a year and a half. And it was their collection which bought the temple, the Soho Street Temple. They collected £108,000. That was the asking price for the Soho Street Temple. And they did this by selling flowers. For example, in front of the tourist places like Madame Tussaud's Wax Museum. So my god sisters were recognized yesterday, one by one, by their god sisters and god brothers. It was very nice to hear this. There's actually a letter written by Srila Prabhupada in which he says, my movement became successful because I let the ladies join. And then he explains why he says that. He says, because the ladies were there in the temple, The men also remained interested in temple life. So another innovation of Prabhupada's. And Prabhupada as a sannyasi married his disciples. This was also an innovation. Usually a sannyasi doesn't perform the marriages. But Prabhupada in the beginning was quite willing. There was no family. There were no elders, you know, in the family who knew how to do it. No priests. So he had to do that. He devised this for his disciples. But he stopped doing it when the marriages... Some of the marriages were shaky and then they weren't staying together. And then Prabhupada said, all right, I'm stopping. I'm not going to marry them anymore. Of course, all of Prabhupada's worldwide preaching was done as a sannyasi. I mean, from 1965 until 1977. We didn't see him in any other order of the Varnashram system. But he actually was in all four orders. I mean, he was a brahmachari, and in the sense, you know, that his father was looking out for him. His father was a pure devotee, and Prabhupada was doing many things that a brahmachari would do in a gurukula. He was taking care of deities, holding festivals, and his father took care that he was properly guided. So you don't come to sannyas life all of a sudden. You prepare. Your whole life is a preparation for that. So brahmachari, then grihastha. His father helped him by arranging a marriage that was not especially to his liking. He thought, maybe I'll take a second wife. I like this other woman more. This first wife I'm not so attracted to. And his father said, no, it's good for you if you're not so attracted. You won't be so attached. And then Prabhupada spent time as a vanaprastha. He wrote about this. I spent 8 or 9 years as a vanaprastha. He was writing to one of his disciples who wanted to take sannyas. And he was writing, no, it's a gradual process. I spent 8 or 9 years as a vanaprastha. And then when Prabhupada took sannyas, Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Sitaram Lakshmananaman ki jai, Sri Shikonatai. When Prabhupada took sannyas, he showed great spiritual strength. He went out on his own and he created devotees and he created new centers. He didn't rely on the established gurimats. He acted independent. He showed that he had independent strength and could do this. So what is a sannyasi? Arjuna asks the question in the 18th chapter, what is sannyas? And Krishna answers, the wise persons, the kavis, understand sannyas as the renunciation of acts arising from selfish desire. Kama, kamyanam, selfish desire, kamyanam, karmanam, the acts, nyasam, renouncing, kamyanam, karmanam, nyasam. So who can be free of selfish desire? What an accomplishment that is. Even in our pursuit of self-realization, which is our actual self-interest, we have to work very hard to become unselfish. We're conditioned souls, so we usually don't have our real self-interest in mind. We have our sense interest in mind. And even Lord Chaitanya, in his mood of introspection, said, "This is true of me. I am keeping my body alive. But if I had love for Krishna, I wouldn't maintain this body." So Srila Prabhupada exhibited this sannyas, this lack of selfish interest. And therefore he was able to establish everyone's understanding. In his books he established an understanding that everyone can appreciate about every topic, sannyas, the four orders, Krishna consciousness, every topic. He criticizes in the section that we're dealing with, this chapter 7, the sannyasis in Varanasi. He talks a little bit about the present-day sannyasis, the present-day followers of Shankara. And others, other unscrupulous persons. He says they're so degraded that nowadays they recommend that sannyasis eat meat and fish and eggs. So in this way they are sinking lower and lower. How can they possibly explain the Vedanta Sutra? You remember who Srila Prabhupada's sannyas guru is, I'm sure, in just a few seconds, if you think of it. Bhaktipran Keshava Maharaj, yeah. At the time that he departed from this world, Srila Prabhupada was in Seattle. He was just opening the Seattle temple. And he got a telegram, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a telegram or a letter, informing him from India that Bhaktipran Keshava Maharaj had departed. He had actually been traveling and preaching, and they couldn't contact him from India so easily. They had tried once or twice when Bhaktipran Keshava Maharaj fell very ill and it was clear that he would not go on. But they couldn't reach Prabhupada until he actually left his body. And at that time, Prabhupada had found this telegram. He was in his apartment. He had returned to his apartment from the temple in the evening. And then he saw this and he went. Back to the temple, and he said to his devotees that his sannyas guru left his body, and he explained to the devotees how he was not eager to take sannyas. He thought it would be uncomfortable. But his guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, came to him in a dream. And he beckoned to him, "Now you come out of household life, come and take sannyas." And then some time passed, Prabhupada didn't. And then again, second dream of his spiritual master. So when Prabhupada wanted to take sannyas, he was checking out the possibilities, and eventually Bhaktipran Keshava Maharaj encouraged him. And so Prabhupada, in his letter of condolence, he wrote that the Gaudiya Math should send a photo of Bhaktipran Keshava, so that one of his devotees, who was an artist, could paint a picture. And the picture could be hung in our temples. Unfortunately, that never happened, but that was Prabhupada's idea. Prabhupada, of course, was very good at giving easy to understand definitions. So sometimes he just made it simple. He said, real sannyas means you use your talents for Krishna's service. He said, even a married man is already a sannyasi if he is in full Krishna consciousness and dedicating his life to Krishna. But sannyas means retiring from materialistic life and devoting time and energy just for the service of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to prove factually that material conditions have to be given up. His friends and his family lamented, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's friends and family lamented so much that they would no longer have his association as Nimai, the householder. Of course, there's an esoteric explanation of this sannyas. Gaura Govinda Maharaj gave a nice lecture about the esoteric explanation for the sannyas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna. And in his leelas in Vrindavan, he captivated the hearts of his pure devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. And they left their homes. They left their families to join Krishna. So the gopis took sannyas, in a sense, by leaving their families and their friends, their homes. So to balance things out in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna had to leave his home and his wife and family. Although he was still a young man, only 24 years old. But this is how Lord Chaitanya marked the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice of the gopis who left their families and friends. He reciprocated in kind by taking sannyas. So it's not a cheap thing, and it's a nice subject. Are there any comments or questions?